My dear brothers and sisters, I greet you all with the greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The great narrator of hadith, the great companion and scholar of the deen, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, a name that we should all be familiar with. He tells us one day a story about one of his own heroes. A personal hero of his, an uncle of his actually, a man who he was named for, another man named Anas, and that was Anas ibn al-Nadr. So Anas ibn Malik is named after Anas ibn al-Nadr, and Anas ibn al-Nadr, his uncle, who was one of the early supporters of Islam in Medina, a man from the Khazraj, he was upset one day after the Battle of Badr, radiallahu anhu. And he was upset. He came to the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He explained why he was upset. He says, "Ya Rasulullah, ghibtu an awwali qitalu qatalta al-mushrikeen." He says, "O Messenger of Allah, I was absent, and the very first time that you and some of the believers had a confrontation, when you and some of the believers battled against the mushrikeen, I was absent that first time." And this bothered him. This made him upset. He felt that he had missed out an opportunity. So he continued, لَإِنِ اللَّهَ أَشْهَدَنِي قِتَالُ مُشْرِكِينَ لَيَرَيَنَّ اللَّهُ مَا أَصْنَعُ. He says, if Allah gives me an opportunity to do battle with the polytheists, if He gives me an opportunity to do battle with the enemies of the deen, then I will show Allah what I would do. Radiallahu anhu. And that opportunity did come. That opportunity came in the form of the Battle of Uhud. We usually think of Uhud and we think of the tragedy of Uhud and the sorrow and the difficulty of that day. But for some, that day was a day of true victory. Some like men such as Anas ibn al-Nadr. During the chaos, when the Muslim ranks fell apart, he continued to march forward. During the retreat of the believers, he continued to march forward. And even as rumors began to spread that the Messenger had been killed, which were untrue, he continued to march forward, committed to his task. And it is said that on the battlefield, others witnessed him. As they retreated, they witnessed him marching forward. They were so shocked, so confused. And they watched him as he would call out, "Allahumma inni a'tadhiru ilayka mimma sana'a ha'ula'i wa abra'u ilayka mimma sana'a ha'ula'i." He would say, "Oh Allah, I seek for you to excuse, Ya Allah. I'm asking you to excuse what these ones are doing." Referring to the other Sahaba. Referring to the other Sahaba who were retreating, "Ya Allah, excuse them. Excuse these ones for what they have done." And then he would say, "And Ya Allah, I distance myself completely. I denounce what these ones are doing." And he was referring to the soldiers of Quraysh. Brothers and sisters, please take a moment, everyone, and turn your phones off. So he would say, "I distance myself from what these ones do," referring to their polytheism and their treachery on the battlefield. It is mentioned, brothers and sisters, after the battle, that the body of Anas ibn al-Nadr was found far ahead, behind the enemy lines, surrounded by bodies of the enemy. Radiallahu anhu, on that day he was from the shuhada. And speaking of battles, by the way, we are in the month of Jumada al-Ula. It's one of the months of the Islamic calendar. The most famous thing that happened in this particular month, in the month of Jumada al-Ula, from the seerah of the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that battle between the Muslims and the Roman Empire, the Battle of Mu'tah. The Battle of Mu'tah, which most would even ask, why would you even engage? What is the strategic value of small, little Medina, a brand new society of just a few thousand people or so, versus Byzantium itself, the Byzantines, who had just overcome the other superpower of the region, which were the Persians. And in that battle, all three leaders that had been appointed by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all three leaders, first of them, Zayd ibn al-Haritha, his own adopted son, and Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, his beloved cousin, and Abdullah ibn Rawaha, one of the most famous and eloquent of the Muslims, all three of the leaders had become martyred one after the other. We know that Allah tells us our shuhada, our martyrs, we don't even say about them they have died. Rather, they live with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in whatever way that He has seen fit for them, whatever reward He has blessed them with. But it's not just about how they died, brothers and sisters. It's not just about the fact that they became martyrs. It's about how they died. It's about the circumstances of their death. It's about the will to move forward when everyone else around you is shaken. The will to move forward when everyone else around you is retreating and breaking ranks. The will to keep marching. For example, it is said about Ja'far ibn Abi Talib that when he took the banner and he became the leader of the army after the death, after the martyrdom of Zayd ibn Haritha, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, he fought and he carried the flag of the Muslims with him. He made it his personal duty to make sure that the flag of the believers would not go down. And in battle, because he is handicapped in this way, one of his arms is severed. So he has a sword in one hand and the flag in the other, and the hand in which the flag was severed. And so what does he do? Instead of handing the banner to someone else, he considers it his personal duty. He refuses to allow this banner to go forward. It doesn't matter to him that they are outnumbered by tens, 20, 30,000 plus Roman soldiers and their vassals on the other side. It doesn't matter to him. He takes the banner in his other hand to ensure that it stays up. And then that hand was severed as well. And he continued to hold the banner up with the stubs of whatever remained of his arms until he was martyred in battle as well. How does someone keep going forward when they have every supposedly legitimate reason to quit and to go down? And remember Anas ibn al-Nadr from earlier? I mentioned that he was found behind enemy lines. It's not just that, brothers and sisters. When they found his body, it is mentioned, it is narrated that he had 80 different wounds on his body. I didn't say 8 or 18. I said 80. 80 different times in the course of the battle, he suffered from the slash of a sword. He suffered from the cut of a spear. He suffered from the pierce of an arrow or the bash of a club. 80 different wounds on his body before he went down. 80 different chances to quit. 80 different chances to be shaken as everyone else is retreating behind him and he continues to march forward. What is it that makes such men? What is it that makes such believers? You see, brothers and sisters, when we study the battles in the history of Islam, too often we study them as historical points. This one came first, and that one came second. And this one had this many numbers, and this one had those leaders. And this was against that opponent, and this one was against this opponent. What we fail to realize, brothers and sisters, is that we should be studying those moments in the seerah as the believers being prepared to become a source of inspiration for others. They were being prepared and refined so that they would inspire people 1,400 years later, halfway across the globe, sitting here today. They were being prepared for moral leadership, to show the world that this is how we lead, and this is how we give our example, this is how we march forward in a way that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is not concerned with the satisfaction of any man. In Surah Al-Ahzab, ayah number 23, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه فمنهم من قضى نحبه ومنهم من ينتظر وما بدلوا تبديله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there are men among the believers who honored their pledge to God. There are men among the believers who have honored their pledge to God Almighty. Some have already fulfilled it in death, and some are still in waiting. They have not changed their promise in the least. The companions, they used to say that this ayah was revealed about men the likes of Anas ibn Nadr and Ja'far ibn Abi Talib and others who had given their life in battle, who had given their life for the deen even when everyone else turned their backs. But brothers and sisters, this passage actually, this ayah from the Quran in Surah Al-Ahzab, it's part of a longer passage. And this longer passage in Surah Al-Ahzab, starting at around ayah number 10, actually answers the question we posed earlier. How can someone just keep going forward? How did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala build such individuals? How did He build such men and women who inspired the world to this day? The following ayat of Surah Al-Ahzab tell us exactly how. In ayah number 10, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the narration, إِذْ جَاءُكُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِكُمْ وَمِنْ أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ وَإِذْ زَاغَتِ الْأَبْصَارُ وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرِ. He says, remember when they amassed against you. This is about which battle? The surah is Surah Al-Ahzab. So which battle is it? Ghazwat Khandaq or Ghazwat Ahzab. The surah is named for the battle. And so Allah says, remember when they amassed against you? When all of them teamed up against you? You see, that was the thing about Ahzab. It was the closest that the Muslims had ever been to complete annihilation. The closest that the Ummah has ever been to complete annihilation was the Battle of Ahzab. In some ways you can think of it, it's not just the trench that they dug, it was the trench that they found themselves in at the lowest of the low moment that they thought, perhaps this is the end. And that's exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. وَإِذَاغَتِ الْأَبْصَارِ وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرِ. When your eyes started to grow wild and your hearts felt like they were reaching your throat. وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَ. And you started to have all kinds of doubt about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هُنَالِكَ ابْتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Now the believers were truly tested. هُنَالِكَ ابْتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. And they were deeply shaken in that moment. It seemed in that battle that as if nothing more could go wrong, and then something else would go wrong. First, the Quraysh marched against the Muslims as a surprise. They came as a surprise, it was not expected. Then, the tribe of Banu Nadir, the tribe that had been expelled from Medina for betraying the peace treaty of Medina, they also marched and joined in with Quraysh. Then the allies of Quraysh from around the Arabian Peninsula started to send their soldiers as well, some of their best fighters. And if you think that was worse, then things continued to get worse. The allies of Banu Nadir started to show up as well, and collectively they formed a confederacy, as if there was an alliance, an agreement, a new Arabian order in order to rid the Arabian Peninsula of Islam. And if that wasn't bad enough, things did get worse. They decided to lay siege to the city. And they sieged the city for weeks, causing all kinds of food shortages, causing people to struggle to be able to even sleep, all kinds of psychological trauma that they went through, just wondering when they will start to breach the walls of the city. They truly felt shaken in that moment. And then things got worse. Banu Qurayza, one of the other tribes in Medina who had been part of that peace treaty, decided that they would break the peace treaty and allow the fighters from Quraysh and the fighters from Banu Nadir to enter from the south of the city, which is exactly where the women and the children were supposed to be safe from the battlefield. One thing after the other kept going wrong. And it is in that type of circumstance, it is in that type of difficulty and abyss, that kind of trench that they were in, that now what you're truly made of is going to be revealed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before He tells us what the right response was, He explains what the wrong responses were. He explains in the following ayat, there was that first group. They said, مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. They said, this promise that Allah and His Messenger have made, they have only promised you delusion. They abandoned the path. In the moment of difficulty, some will abandon the path. And then others responded in a different way. And this is another wrong response. They called out to others, not to abandon Islam, not to abandon the path, but instead they called out with their criticisms, Ya ahla Yathrib, la muqama lakum farji'u. O people of Yathrib, what are you doing guarding your posts? Run, retreat. It's not worth it to fight anymore. They called out with their negativity and their complaints. They discouraged others. And then is the third group. And this is the vast majority of people, unfortunately. They did not abandon Islam outright. They did not discourage others, but they were discouraged in themselves. And they would come up to the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they would say, إِنَّ بُيُوتَنَا أَوْرَةً وَمَا هِيَ بِأَوْرَةً. Allah says, إِن يُرِيدُونَ إِلَّا فِرَارًا. They would come to the Messenger and say, Ya Rasulullah, we can't be here on the front lines anymore. We have to go guard our houses. Even though that had been taken care of. A force had been sent to protect the homes. Oh no, we have to go with them and protect the homes. We can't keep our posts anymore. And Allah says they were just looking for an escape. They just wanted an out. And that's the thing, brothers and sisters, when crisis hits, when we are shaken to the core, there are some, their response is to abandon the path, to abandon the faith. And instead they choose to live the cynical and miserable life of faithlessness. What a foolish choice to make. And then there are some, they respond by discouraging others. They take these opportunities of crisis to air out their grievances. They take these opportunities to criticize and say, I told you so, and you should have done it my way. And that too is the wrong response. It is a weakness of faith as well. And then there's the third group. They want to abandon, but they don't want to be known for abandoning. They want to do it secretly. So they privately and quietly, they come up with excuses in order to be discouraged. Oh, I'm sorry, I can't because I have this. I'm sorry, I have to go because I have that. And every excuse in the book. None of these are the correct response. Instead, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the proper response in moments of crisis. The proper response when you are shaken even to the core. And that was when the messenger, when the believers, when the companions responded, as Allah quotes them, لَمَّا رَأَى الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابِ. When the believers, when they saw the confederates, when they saw the circumstances, when they saw everyone and everything stacked against them, قَالُوا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. They said, isn't this exactly what Allah and His Messenger promised? قَالُوا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. This is exactly what Allah and His Messenger promised. وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. Turns out Allah and His Messenger's promise is true. وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا. It only increased them in their faith and in their obedience. It only increased them in their belief in Allah and in their willingness to obey and submit themselves to Allah and His Messenger. My brothers and sisters, when the moment of crisis comes, when we feel that we are shaken even to the core, that is the time for our faith to increase and our obedience to be clear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the time when we should fortify ourselves. Our faith should become a fortress within which we defend ourselves. And our obedience to Allah becomes the weapons against that crisis that we fight and we battle. Today, we feel like there's so many reasons for us to be shaken. Today we also feel like there's an ahzab, there's a confederacy stacked up against us. But then we remember that the promise of Allah and His Messenger are true. Today, that we were supposed to be shaken. They promised us there's going to be an evil politician and he's going to become president or he's going to become in charge and he's going to hurt you and he's going to attack you and he's going to make you suffer. That's what they told us, to shake us. But then we looked towards our brothers and sisters in Gaza and we saw the number of shuhada. We looked to our brothers and sisters around the world and we saw how nothing we've done so far has been able to give them any positive impact. And here we are at the faucet of oppression around the world. We remembered our brothers and sisters in Gaza and we remembered our own dignity. And we realized, those people, they are shuhada. Isn't that exactly what Allah promised? Didn't Allah promise that righteous people will have the opportunity to become shuhada? And we remembered our dignity and we will not be shaken again. Today, they tell us about the evil leaders around the Muslim world and how these evil leaders or these foolish leaders are not using the strength of the ummah, they're misguiding the ummah. And I think to myself again, wait a minute. Didn't the Prophet ﷺ tell us that this would happen as well? Didn't Rasulullah ﷺ, and Allah mentions in the Quran that those people, they seek leadership and they are evil. And again, our faith is increased. Our obedience to Allah is increased. We will not be shaken anymore. Today, they tell us and they remind us and they show us evil teachers and evil scholars, pretend scholars, fakes and frauds. And we hear about them and again, we feel shaken. But then we remember the Prophet ﷺ in the hadith mentioned them as well. There will be such frauds. There will be such facades. There will be such fake people. Isn't that what Allah and His Messenger promised us? Our faith is increased. Our obedience grows. We will not be shaken again. Today, they threaten us. They tell us that you will lose some of your wealth. They tell us you will lose some of your opportunities. But then we remember ourselves that the wealth and the opportunities of this dunya are temporary. They will vanish. And the wealth and the opportunities of Jannah are endless and they are promised. Isn't that what Allah promised us in the first place? We will not be shaken anymore. They tell us about the way that men and women are at war with each other and how this is a threat to all of us, a threat to our society, a threat to our communities, a threat to our families. But then we remember that Allah tells us in the Quran, the believing men and the believing women, they are allies of one another. It's the promise of Allah. We will not be shaken anymore. They tell us about all of these evil ideologies, and if we don't follow them, then we will be uncool. If we don't follow them, we will be ostracized. If we don't follow them, then we will be the extremists. And then we remember, didn't the Prophet promise us that Islam is something strange? And we are the strangers of Islam. And our faith is increased, our obedience is increased, we will not be shaken anymore. Brothers and sisters, when you look outside and you see the ahzab all stacked against you, then remember that this is the moment our faith grows and this is the moment in which we will be built to be inspirational. We will be built to be moral leaders of the world. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to stabilize us and increase the faith in our hearts. Ya Allah, as the world shakes around us, prevent us from being shaken. Ya Allah, as the world is filled with evil, make us fortresses of good. Brothers and sisters, raise your hands, speak to Allah from the heart. Udu Allahu wa antum muqinuna bil ijaba. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashraf al mursaleen. Sayyidina wa maulana nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een. My dear brothers and sisters, today we reflect upon that particular battle, the battle of Ahzab, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes as the battle in which those incredible individuals were built. The battle in which faith increased. The battle in which obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger increased, even as they were in the most difficult and most dire of circumstances. And I recognize, brothers and sisters, that sometimes some of us feel more down than others. Sometimes some of us feel like the obstacle that is right in front of us is just too big. We cannot figure it out. We don't know what to do. And in moments like this, brothers and sisters, we need to be able to turn to each other. When you see one of your brothers who is particularly faltering, then you pull him up and you encourage him. When you see one of your sisters who's really starting to doubt herself, then you act as a bulwark against the onslaught against her. You act as a protection for her. You bring her up with you. My brothers and sisters, this is what we should be doing for each other in these moments. That's a way that our faith increases. That's a way that our obedience grows stronger to Allah and His Messenger. And I remind you that the companions, even in that battle, in the Battle of the Trench, they sometimes found themselves in such moments as well. Remember when they were digging the trench, and finally things start to look like they're going in the right direction. Okay, we're going to build this trench and it's going to protect us. And then as they're digging in the area they decided to dig, a massive boulder comes. And they're unable to break this boulder. And they're wondering to themselves, we should have dug somewhere else. We should have had a different plan. What do we do? And so they speak to the messenger. Some of them go report that there's this boulder and, you know, that people have given up. They've been trying all day to move or break this rock and they cannot dig past it. We don't know what to do, Ya Rasulullah. So what does the messenger والسلام, do? He goes outside. He picks up one of the axes. They're hoping that he'll come up with a new plan. They're hoping that he'll come up with some kind of alternative strategy. They're thinking he will make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strike the boulder and to destroy it. But what does he do? He goes outside and he picks up an axe and he goes to the boulder and he says Bismillah and he strikes the boulder with the axe as hard as he possibly can. And in that strike, some of the boulder actually chips away and falls. And then he looks to the believers who are looking at him with shock and he says to them, Allahu Akbar. U'titu mafatih al-Sham. He says, Allahu Akbar. God is the greatest. I have been given the keys to al-Sham. I have been given the keys to this region that somehow the believers wouldn't even imagine that one day Muslims will be there and call it home. He says, U'titu mafatih al-Sham. I have been given the keys to al-Sham. And then he raises his axe again and he strikes again. Allahu Akbar afterwards. Another piece of the boulder falls. Allahu Akbar u'titu mafatih Faris. God is the greatest. I have been given the keys to Persia. Persia, which at that time was a superpower and they could never imagine that Muslims would call it not only home one day, but some of the greatest scholarship in the history of the Ummah would be produced there. It would be a homeland for Islam. And then he raises his axe and he strikes the boulder again. And another piece of the boulder falls and he says, Allahu Akbar, A'titu mafatih al-Yaman. God is the greatest. I have been given the keys to Yemen. Yemen, that land in the south, which was controlled by the Christian kingdoms, that land in the south, which only five decades earlier, an army had marched from Yemen in order to destroy the Kaaba. And now the messenger is saying, no, I have been given the keys to Yemen as well. That was the lesson of the messenger in that moment. And that is the lesson that we need to take. Sometimes you just got to get out there, you got to grab the axe and start striking. Sometimes you just have to go to the problem and start working and chipping away. Sometimes you have to put in an effort and you don't know how much impact that effort will have. But you need to go put it. You need to say Bismillah and start. And that's when the rest of the companions, in excitement and in enthusiasm, they ran forward with their axes as well. And all of them started chipping away at the boulder and the boulder was completely removed. That trench not only saved the city of Medina, brothers and sisters, that destroyed boulder was not only an obstacle for them, it was a sign of the conquest, not just of land, but the conquest of the hearts that Islam would have in the future. So brothers and sisters, today, these days are the days in which we need to start going out and taking whatever action we can. We need to go out and put in whatever effort we can. We say Bismillah. We increase ourselves in faith. We increase ourselves in obedience. And that's how we respond to these circumstances when everyone tells us that the odds are all stacked against you. And remember, brothers and sisters, how did the Battle of Ahzab conclude? How did the Muslims win? Did they outduel their opponent? Did they outmaneuver their opponent? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a wind. The wind knocked over the encampments of the enemy and they just quit. You need to be ready that they will quit before you will quit. They will give up before we give up. Because their faith is in their wealth. Their faith is in their power. Their faith is in their own hands. Their faith is in their schemes. And our faith is in Allah, and Allah is greater than all of that. So if you believe it, if you believe it, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, God is greater, then you believe that we have exactly what we need in order to overcome any confederacy against us. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strengthen our hearts. I ask you, Ya Allah, to strengthen our shoulders. Ya Allah, enable us and strengthen us in these days when we face difficulties. Strengthen us in these days when we feel shaken. Strengthen us in these days when we feel mourning and sorrow. Strengthen us in these days. We know, Ya Allah, there are difficulties and challenges ahead. But Ya Allah, you have enabled us. You have enabled us to pick our opponents this time, Ya Allah. You enabled us to pick our opponents in this moment, Ya Allah. So strengthen us to overcome them or to bring them to the teachings of the deen. Allahumma ameen.